He was ready for bed. He was ready. His back was sore. His feet ached. His hands had gone numb from cold. He and his buddies had been out fishing all night, rocking to and fro with the rise and fall of the waves. Out all night, casting out and reeling in one empty net after another. And there was the sun. This glistening rays pierced through the mist that was rising off of the glassy sea, and also glistened off of the still wet web of netting that lay across the hull of the boat. It would have been a beautiful picture if that sun would have glistened off of fish scales as well. As soon as the boat slid through the sand and dug into the shore, the boat's occupants let out groans and grunts as they got out and splashed through the surf and pulled their boats out of the reach of the tides. And once the oars had been stored and the boats had been beached, their attention turned to the nets. And this was the moment that should have been full of excitement and getting everything ready for the market and the table, but they looked down this morning and all they saw was rope and sand. Disgusted and dejected, they sat down and began to pick from the strands of the net seashells and seaweed, honest pay for an honest night's work. And there they sat for a long time, lost in their tired thoughts, their hands working mindlessly and mechanically, going about their work. Day had fully replaced the dawn by the time Simon Peter had startled back to reality by a sudden movement that was close behind him. Not long into the monotonous maintenance did the fishermen realize there was a crowd slowly gathering along the sea's shore, not too far from them. And over time, that crowd got closer and closer, following the sound of one individual's voice who was calling out over the murmurs and mutterings of the rest. And before Simon Peter realized it, that individual was standing right behind him. Realizing this, he looked up from his net and caught a glimpse of his brother Andrew's and his friends James and John's faces. And their looks were a mixture of surprise and excitement. Curious, Simon Peter turned and looked and saw behind him a man with whom he had begun to become rather familiar. Simon had first learned about this individual from his brother Andrew, who had met this man through another leader named John the Baptizer. And as any good brother will do, once one finds who they believe to be the Messiah, you quickly let the other one know. And it wasn't long before Andrew was dragging Simon to meet this Messiah, and Simon wasn't disappointed. He was impressed by the man's words, but more so the man's actions. Because as soon as this Messiah heard that his mother-in-law was sick with fever, he offered to help. And help he did. As soon as he entered Simon's home, he walked right up to his mother-in-law, rebuked the fever, and it left. But that was days earlier. And yet it was an exciting moment at the time, but now separated from that moment by a long night of fruitless fishing, and that moment seemed to lose its luster a little bit. It was back to work as normal right now, and sure, the Messiah was good with words and healing, but leave fishing to the fishermen. This was fishermen's work. As Simon looked up into his Savior's face, he met a warm smile and a look of recognition. But before Simon could speak, the Savior spoke. He said, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." I can only imagine what Simon must have been thinking at those words, what that painful silence must have been like. Here they were, a bunch of tired fishermen who just got done with a long night of fruitless fishing. Here they were cleaning their nets, and their boats were put away, and this rabbi comes out of nowhere who just woke up in the morning asking for a fishing exhibition with their just put away boats and their just clean nets. And to make matters worse, what this Messiah was suggesting was quite frankly ridiculous. Ask any fisherman, and they'll tell you that going out into deep water with shallow water nets in the middle of the day is an excellent way to make sure your already empty nets stay empty. What Jesus was suggesting seemed like many things, but the one thing it didn't sound like was a good idea. Are you about ready to put away your nets? Have these past few years as members of faith felt like a long night of fruitless fishing? Do you sit here and remember the past and fear the future, and you hear the call from Jesus to go out into deep waters once more, and you have a similar reaction to Simon? He said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Master, we've been your church. We've grown together in your eternal gospel. We followed your means of grace ministry model faithfully. But now we're tired. Now we're dejected and disappointed. We're worried about if we're going to have enough. Enough people, enough resources, enough energy. Lord, we hear your call, and we're having a hard time imagining going back out and trying again." You know what that's like, right? You know that feeling. You know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night and hear your baby crying again. You know what it's like to wake up on a Monday morning and know that work or school is just hours away and there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know what it's like to wake up in the morning and turn to expect the person that had always been there, but they're not. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I want to do this. I'm afraid that all that's waiting for me in deep waters is a whole lot of disappointment. So have we put away the nets? Have we pulled in our boats with no intention of going back out? Have we contented ourselves to be casual Christians, morose members of faith who have no desire to get our nets wet once more? And it's true, it's been a long night. And it's true, we just cleaned our tackle, we just put away our boat, we just moved here, we just finished the office building project, we're putting the finishing repairs on a leak that sprung up along the way. So no, I wouldn't blame you if you just wanted to be comfortable for a little while. If you just wanted to stabilize and avoid the risks that come with venturing into deep waters. But I hate to break it to you, that's not where Jesus is calling you. And he knows. He knows the night has been long. He knows the waves have been rough. He knows the aching backs of those who have carried the weight of the past few years. The sore feet of those who have quite literally ran from house to house, inviting guest and visitor alike. He knows the numb hands who have done so much to make sure this place was operational. And he knows. He knows his request sounds ridiculous. He knows that it might seem like the timing is off, that the method is off, that he's calling the wrong person. And he knows that to hear his call and to answer is a risk. If you listen to this call, you're going to risk failure. You're going to risk rejection. You're going to risk discomfort. He knows. And yet he calls you. He knows, and yet he says, don't be afraid. Why? Because you don't sail alone. God is in your boat. And that is a thought that should terrify sinners. Simon Peter recognized it. As soon as he answered the Savior's call, as soon as he went to the unreasonable place, into the unreasonably deep waters and cast an unreasonable fishing strategy, and when his nets filled with an unreasonable amount of fish that they began to tear and the boats began to sink, as soon as he turned to the unreasonable man sitting in his boat and realized the one he had just called Sir was actually his Lord, he assumed the posture appropriate for sinners before an almighty God. Separation. Go away, Lord. I don't belong here. Go away. I know my failures. I know my faults. Sinners don't belong before you, and here I am, and I'm terrified. So go away. But he didn't. Jesus didn't go away. He wouldn't go away. Simon Peter assumed the posture appropriate for a sinner before an almighty God, but God didn't. Jesus gave no condemnation, no judgment. No, instead, he said two words in Greek, three words in English, with one meaning for all. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid because Jesus became man for this very moment. Don't be afraid because God with you in the boat is soon going to be God on the cross, so that sinners will no longer have to say, go away, Lord, I am a sinful man. Instead, they can say, here am I, Lord. Send me. God is in your boat. God is in your church. The Lord Jesus sits with you here today through word and sacrament and repeats to you the same words he said to Simon Peter thousands of years ago. Don't be afraid. When you consider your sin, don't be afraid. When you consider your failures, don't be afraid. When you consider your doubts and your hesitancy and your apathy, don't be afraid. When you hear Jesus call you again to go from your place of comfort out into the deep waters where only he knows what's going to happen, you don't have to be afraid because Jesus is God with us, despite our sin, and despite the difficulty of the task ahead. And so here you sit, after a long night of fishing, with disappointed faces and less than desirable results, and there sits Jesus, with the gospel of God pouring from his lips, calling you to go to the place you might not want to go, to use the nets that you probably even can't stand to look at, and to risk one more cast. There he sits calling you to use the time, talents, and treasures that he's given you, and to risk one more interaction where you show someone just who Jesus really is, to risk one more word that shows a love the world can't begin to feign, to risk one more moment where you don't keep your eyes fixed on the ever-decaying possibilities of the world around you, but you keep your eyes fixed on your seemingly senseless Savior who calls you again to go into deep water, into a world of the unknown where the waves might be rough and the boat might be buffeted by worry and doubt. Dear friends, risk one more cast and be prepared to be amazed. Because the great catch on the Sea of Galilee was just the beginning. Jesus' fishing miracle hasn't stopped. It continues through you. And it won't stop. It will not stop until the whole boat is full, until every one of God's children are accounted for. At that moment, we, Jesus' fishers of men, can put down our nets and rest. But for now, there's still room. There's still work to do. So what do you say? Will you come with me and join me in getting in the boat with Jesus and going out into the open ocean and risking the waves and the wind once more? Yeah, we might have a few more sleepless and catchless nights. There might be a few lows along the way. But while the lows are possible, the highs are inevitable. Because we know who sails with us, who sends us, who saves us. He's the one who says, put out into deep water and let down your nets. And what do you say? May our answer be that of Simon. Yes, Lord, because you say so. Amen.